Welcome to season four. Guys, we've been doing this for 4 years. This is season four of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me are my two best friends in the world, Philip Dixon and Calvin McGowan. Guys, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
What's up, everybody? As usual, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm ready for basketball to get back in full swing.
What's going on? It's Philip, a.k.a. Mr. Holla at your boy! And yeah, I'm ready to get going. You know what I mean? I'm ready to get going.
Yeah, sorry for anybody who has earphones in. I know he just burst whatever eardrum you got. But, guys, we should all be this excited. This has been, like, the longest offseason that we've had in what feels like years.
Seems short to me.
Short? Bro, it's felt like 4 months. I guess it has been 4 months because the last game was in June. Like, I'm fiending for it. And I literally just stopped watching the high school basketball like a month ago. but we're going to keep this flowing. We're going to go ahead and get straight into everything because we got basketball games to watch tonight. Like, today is the opening day for the NBA season. First question on everybody's docket has to be, what was your favorite storyline from this long NBA offseason? I'll go ahead and go first. It was all the coverage of the 2023 draft class. Like, that is my favorite thing. And I think I'm biased here. When I first started scouting basketball back in Texas, I started with the 2022 class. They were all freshmen. And I got to watch all of these kids grow up. A lot of them were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we just kind of watched them be really special. And throughout that time, we got to see them grow and matriculate. And now they are up for NBA consideration at the end of this year. And literally all of them are performing above expectation so far. And the new guys that we got to talk about, Scoot Henderson, who's technically class of 2023, but because of the G League Ignite program, he's going to be past that anyway. We got to watch the freakiest prospect I've ever seen in Victor Wembanyama over the last couple of months just do special things that we were supposed to see, like other people do.
I got a lot of questions about this guy. Because, like, are we going to get to it now or?
No, we can talk about it now. We
okay.
Might as well.
I got a question because this whole thing of he's the best prospect ever in NBA history. I understand that, and I understand the logic behind it, but the biggest issue with people who are mobile, but specifically as tall as he is one basic foot injury. And they all, for some reason, get injured, you know, in terms of like the foot, right? That puts them out of commission and things like that. So I don't even think it's – because people keep saying – people that tall who play basketball at the guard level are the future of the NBA of the next, like, 10 years, right? In the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot more of him. But they're much more injury-prone, so I don't honestly think that's as easy of a statement as what people are making it out to be. But when people keep saying he's the best prospect, I'm like, sure, in theory, that makes all sense in the world. But what makes LeBron James LeBron James in terms of, like, a career? Because no one's really saying that in a career he's going to end up being as good as LeBron James. But sure, in terms of a ceiling, that makes sense. In terms of him not playing one game, that makes sense. But does that matter?
So what's your definition of that?
Like, does the ceiling of a prospect before they play one NBA game actually matter? Because we hear these stories all the time of the next LeBron James, the next, yeah, sure, they're not the number one prospects, whatever. We hear the stories of, like, people at that level. But personally, that's fine and dandy for people picking up draft picks and, you know, teams, whatever. But unless you're a GM for a school, unless you're the owner of a team, if you're a fan or a person talking about you know, the NBA, critiquing the NBA, you know, whatever, right? Does his prospect attributions before he takes one step on the court even matter as a conversation?
Galvin, go ahead. You look like
The short answer is yes, but before I really get to you about why, just that, you're right in that we hear that whole, oh, this dude's the best prospect since LeBron James. This dude is the best prospect since, we've been getting it for a long time, and it's exhausting, and hype is not worth buying into, just because, how are y'all always this hype for some, high school kid or college freshman or whatever? Not that all hype is necessarily wrong, just that y'all aren't tired. But more to the point, though, players' ceilings matter because I think the basic logic for why it matters outside of simply you want to try and get the best players you can is because, right, if a dude is somehow able to reach a ceiling or get close, right, this is the kind of, it's an idea of the kind of player they could end up becoming. And, right, we're getting, these dudes are becoming professional basketball players and millionaires at really young ages, right? 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And the thing is that they still have a lot of, you're getting dudes who almost universally have a lot of room to grow and improve. And particularly if you particularly if a team is trash currently, you want to give yourself every opportunity to get a star that can turn the franchise around.
But I understand that. And that's why I make the preference of GM, owner, so on and so forth. But for people critiquing the NBA, right, people analyzing the NBA as we do, as many people you see on the internet do, I'm just curious. I don't even have a right or wrong answer. I'm just legitimately curious on if it actually matters for us to do so before they take a step on the court, because we hear the conversations all the time, not to this level, right? But you hear the conversations all the time and where it doesn't pan out for the people. Because my first thing is this, my first thought was this, right? I see the guy, I see him playing. My first thought was, okay, what size shoes he wear? No, for real. What size shoes he wear? Okay, he was a 20-plus size shoe. When you're doing guard-like stuff, the likelihood of you stepping on somebody else's foot, going for a jump shot, going up for, you know, just in terms of injury, when you're wearing a size 13, 14, lower, that's fine, you can kind of brush that off, but we know actively with guys whose feet are that big that it takes up more area and it's harder for them to come back from stuff like that. So is that even realistic to have a person with his height, with his kind of ability, think about it in terms of longevity? But, should we even care about the longevity of the person? Or should we specifically point on a more optimistic viewpoint and specifically not even think about that and think about, the heights? You know what I mean? These aren't right or wrong answers. These are just things that I'm like, should they even be weighed?
So, I would think, right, if you are making the decisions, right, you're going to weigh how good they are now, how good you think they can become, whether or not you think they can stay healthy. The thing is that when we talk about, right, the how good they can be, you assume the assumption baked in to a dude reaching his ceiling is that he gets into the right environment, he has the right work ethic, he stays healthy, right? The thing when we look when we look at the reactions of people to these things, to why Mbamba and whatever, from, like, just in general and not just people who, like, hyper-analyzing, most folks that are super hype on, a lot of the hype around Weinbaum is that he is as big as he is doing some of the things that he's doing. And the people who are like, oh my God, he had an amazing three-point shooting night. Like, the league is fucked or whatever. Aren't thinking about the fact that, like, dudes that are that tall don't stay healthy. Or that Wembanyama isn't a great three-point shooter at the moment, historically. Like, it was just a good night. That's not how hype works.
Yeah. That's not how hype works. You know, everything is not how hype works. And when you have people going, you're the best prospect ever in basketball, like, that is intangibly, that is the definition of hype, right? But I'm wondering if people are getting caught up in the hype. But, like, in a way that is unrealistic, right? Because right now, we are in the era of basketball. And we generally speaking, sure, there's been outliers. But we are in the era of basketball where different body types are coming to the NBA doing things never seen before. They all get injured. All of them. Kevin Durant's been injured. Zion's been injured. Like, all these different frames. Joel Embiid's been injured.
We got to add LeBron in there now.
Say it again?
We got to add LeBron in there now.
But once he can hit 36, you know what I mean? Like he's an outlier. But honestly, but he's 6'8", right? He's 6'8", and he takes care of his body, like, ridiculously. But LeBron is the outlier, right? Everybody, generally speaking, who is tall, fluid, and just a different body type than the standard body type we have generally seen in the NBA throughout history, gets injured more times than not. Yes, there are Shaqs. Yes, there are Giannises, right? But generally speaking, that's not the case. So I think it's always best to undersell, and then when they reach their potential, say, okay, great. But, like, Giannis was – people didn't know Giannis was going to be Giannis, right? Like, people didn't know Joel Embiid was going to be Joel Embiid, right? Like, there was – LeBron was like, this is the greatest high school prospect ever. But LeBron exceeded those expectations that were even put on him at that moment. So I don't know if it's useful. I don't even know if it's a useful conversation to have that this is best player I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he is just because it's, like, different don't mean it's the best.
Yeah. Hey, let me wrap.
Like, this is y'all's reminder that, like, his freshman sophomore year, Imani Bates was the best high school prospect at that age that people had ever seen. And, you know, he's at Eastern Michigan now. Yeah. So
let me wrap this up for y'all. Hype equals marketing. We still forget that the NBA is a business. What they want to do is market their new product as best as they possibly can to get everybody's attention. And then when they get on the floor, they can get those eyes. They don't care about the prospect that much. Realistically, if Wembanyama comes in and he does not make a difference to a franchise, the NBA is still going to go on. They're still going to be a champion. They're still going to be an MVP. They're still going to be someone better. And then we have the 2024 draft, and they're going to hype somebody else up. The train keeps moving.
See,
this is all a business.
People like new things.
Yeah, that is
shiny new toy.
And that is the reality of things, right? Like, there is no if, ifs, or buts about that. You are 110% right. I mean, it just goes into the fact that I hate business. Like, the way the business is ran, and talking about people in terms of like product and commodity, but like as if they're not people. You know what I mean? So it's once again, I think there has to be a separation though between corporate talk, corporate spiel, marketing talk, marketing spiel that is inherently going to happen from NBA teams and the NBA itself versus individuals like us talking about a person, because we can't get caught up in we can't get caught up using those same terms, dialects, those same kind of talking points that the business and the NBA uses as individual people, especially when it comes to a prospect like this. I think that's my thought on it.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I don't think that's something we're gonna deal with. Like, I scout for a living. I'm realistic. There's some kids that I'm not hype on that everybody else is hype on. Me and Calvin have had discussions about Wembanyama during the two games against the G League.
Yeah.
Wembanyama scares me. Like, we talk about how fluid he is with the ball in his hands. When he's off ball, he looks like a clunky 17, 18-year-old 7'5" kid. He moves weird.
He doesn't move as well as like the highlights would make you think he moves.
Yeah. But guys, that is enough of the part of the offseason that I've liked so much. I need to hear from y'all. What was something in the offseason that you guys liked?
Yeah, Calvin, you can go first.
I'm thinking, because I'm just like, there's a lot of stuff. If for no other reason than like, I guess this is mostly for my own amusement. I'm amused by Ben Simmons continuing to make excuses for himself. He's making excuses for himself to not try and do better. Y'all are gonna complain if like I don't shoot, and you're gonna complain if I shoot badly. Like, bruh, make a decision. If you're not gonna, like, the issue is not just that you don't shoot, it's that you're not aggressive. Like, you haven't progressed as an offensive player and you shy away from big moments, but you want to be considered the guy. I'm sorry.
I want to be the guy.
Like, right, like, I remember, I think around the time they were going to, like, trade him and whatever, around that time. Or, like, when he really kind of, like, fell out with every, I don't know exactly the period, but, like, it's just, I don't know, man.
This is a pro Ben Simmons podcast, by the way, guys.
Oh, you're still in the Nets?
I don't even care about the Nets. Who I got as the NBA champion.
Again? Right
now, back on the bandwagon, baby. I love this drug. I'm okay with being an athlete. I don't care about being wrong. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But as far as the Ben Simmons stuff goes, if you go through from when he got to the States while he was at Montverde, to now, there is never a moment where Ben Simmons is like, I need to be an offensive hub. Never a moment. Even when he was at LSU and he was having a good career, but there was no team success, he only did that because he had to do that. Like, he has no problem deferring. Every conversation we've ever had about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid kind of like battling for who's the top dog, it's always been a media discussion. It's never been a Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid like actively battling to be the number one option. He know he can't score. There's a reason why he put so much effort into his defense.
So
like, we want him to be more, the thing is, right?
Like, we've seen him play, we've seen him have aggressive, like we've seen the occasional game where like he's really looking for a shot, really trying to, like, he can. It doesn't happen much, but he can put up.
Is occasional. He's not that.
I mean, Okay, and you're going to choose a reason for why they have a championship this year or why Ben Simmons' success, whatever it is. I mean, he will be locking up the best player on the opposite team. And then he has two offensive juggernauts that we have to just question if he's still healthy or not. It's Kyrie. The reason Kyrie stayed healthy last year because he didn't play the whole season.
Kyrie's been fairly healthy.
No. The reason Kyrie didn't play, the reason Kyrie was healthy because he didn't play the whole season. That's not Kyrie got Chris Paul body. Kyrie got make it to the full season body. Except Chris Paul has the heart, which breaks his body down. Kyrie just breaks down and has been doing since Duke. He's had many more seasons of being injured than of not. So that's a real concern. It's a real concern. And then Kevin Durant is less of a concern, but it's still a concern that's there because his injuries have packed up later on in his career. The older he gets, the more injury prone you are, and that's kind of reality, and that's how it's been for him. So it's less, but it's still there to a degree. Then Ben Simmons is also coming off a quote-unquote injury. So if you take his word for it, but also he's soft. So, you know, there's reasons to say, oh, they're going to be successful, but there's all reasons to say they're not going to be successful. But Ben Simmons is annoying. Like, I was a big Ben Simmons guy at LSU. Big Ben, when they lost the game, they lost a playoff game, and then Joel Embiid was, like, crying. Do you remember that? Who did they lose to? Joel Embiid was crying after the game, after the playoff game, because it was their series is over. And then I think it was the Celtics. And then Ben Simmons held on to him and was like, you know, we're going to be back. We're going to be back. That was, like, an actual thing he said. I was like, at that point and before then, up to that point, I was a Ben Simmons guy. Including this offseason, since that point, I have not been a Ben Simmons guy because Ben Simmons is annoying. He wants all the attention but doesn't want things to come that come with the attention of a basketball player or a basketball superstar at least. And it's ridiculous, and I don't like talking about him anymore because he's not worth it to me. Like, he's not worth it, right? There are certain people that are worth it. There's certain people that do antics, but we talk about it because they're on the court. They're on the court. If you're not going to be on the court, and not because of injury, but due to pettiness or I was in a dark place or whatever you want to say, then I don't got time for that. We're here to talk about basketball. That's how I feel about it, personally.
I was with you most of the way. You lost me at the very end there.
My bad.
I'm not going to speak on that man's mental health, even though, like, I don't know, like, how can turning down a dunk make your mental health deteriorate enough that you don't play for a year? But, well, like,
you know.
You're 6'10". You're 6'10". Listen. Whenever you go on Twitter, like Instagram or whatever it is, the memes that came from that, you brought upon yourself. It's unfortunate, right? Because it's not like it's what it seems like, at least. Mental issues that came along because of circumstances that he created for himself. Unfortunate circumstances that he created for himself. But at the end of the day, circumstances that came from himself. Now, that is what we, the audience, have been presented. And I'm going to take it at that surface level, right? With that being the case, I don't care because you kind of did this onto yourself. We've seen other players who have been in similar situations have the mental fortitude to counteract that. A good example of that is Paul George. Paul George, for that playoff P thing, was real during the OKC run, where they lost because of him and Carmelo and Russell Westbrook, and they're like, you can't. And then Paul George was really the one saying, I was in a dark place, blah, blah, blah. But then he goes to the Clippers, and guess what happens? He puts in that work, and he shows up. It just happened that there were some unfortunate injuries that kind of retract from whatever, right? Paul George or Kawhi Leonard getting injured. But he showed up. He retracted that. So all of a sudden now, do you hear anybody talking about playoff P in a negative way? No, you don't. The whole rhetoric is gone. It really is. And the people who do talk about that don't talk basketball. They talk basketball through memes and through, you know, subreddits, right? They're not real people. They're egg emojis on Twitter, right? The people that know basketball don't use that kind of terminology with Chris or with Paul George anymore, right? And so we've seen people combat against the, you know, struggles that came, or the backlash socially that came along with their struggles. We've seen people that thrive from that and like, okay, and double down and really went in. And then we've seen people, you know, retract back. And Ben Simmons seems to be the type that has retracted back. And because of play, the season hasn't started yet, and it already seems terrible. They had a little
content, by the way. Great content. Listen, put that out there. They really should know.
Listen,
great content.
Whoever did that study, that man, he could have shot and made 9 in a row. We'd have no idea. He airballed that one.
Hey, that kept going. That was one of the ugliest misses I have ever seen.
He was mad close. I don't know.
He was just messing around, but I was like, pass the ball, big homie. Pass the ball and go lock up, please.
Like, that's if you're going to be messing around.
In Brooklyn.
If you're going to be messing around like that, you can't have form. You can't have form as you mess around. You know what I mean? Like, you got to at least, like, toss it up there and get a little hook shot, you know, a little stuff. Oh, I'm playing games. That didn't look like you was playing games. That looked like it was real. No. Somebody left the window open. You know what I mean? So, like, Ben Simmons, for a player I used to like so much, especially at LSU, right, in early Philadelphia, apparently like so much, it is unfortunate this is the case, but he is annoying. And it is what it is. And the offseason didn't. And how he's maneuvered through Philadelphia to the Nets hasn't helped that, especially when they ended last season. It was like, oh, in the playoffs, will Ben Simmons come back? No, he won't come back. Like, that was like a statement out there. He didn't come back for this last game? No, he won't come back. But he has an opportunity this year to change that whole entire narrative. If he changes it, I will be the first person to say, okay, perfect. This is fantastic. But if he doesn't change it, and he's just like the same Ben Simmons, I'm going to have to clown him.
I need a public apology when the Nets win the championship this year.
That won't happen, but okay.
Oh, it's happening. I already put money on it.
Listen. I was going to get into that and why that won't happen. And I was like, okay, retract, stay back.
We'll have time to get into that momentarily.
Yeah, speaking of which.
But outside of that, I also think that
You chose.
Okay, fine. I chose. That's fair. That's fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Oh, I already know, Captain. No. This is going.
Oh, actually, yeah. I thought about this. I feel like I know.
Listen, Draymond. I respect it.
What?
No, seriously. Fights, and it's known, right? I mean, you need to be an NBA insider to know that fights in the practices happen all the time. It happened all the time. This one just happened to get out. Now, whoever leaked it should get fired. I hope they have gotten fired. But this one just happens to come out, and I'm like, wow, that was a good straight. Doo-doo. He hit him. Pool hit the ground. So I'm sitting here watching it on my bed through TikTok. And I'm like, wow. That was solid. But also, this is your last year in Golden State. That was solid. But you ain't staying. And I thought that immediately. And then when Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins got them contracts, I knew right off the bat. It is a wrap for Draymond in Golden State. Immediately. And so I was thinking, should I slander this man the very first podcast to keep 4 years of tradition going? And I said, yeah, I will. Because we will finally get to see what this man is outside of Golden State. I just gotta wait one more year. Now, they're saying he might go to the Lakers. That won't happen.
That don't even make sense.
It don't make sense at all. That won't happen. That don't make no sense, but that is the rhetoric out there, though, right? That is a thing you see. Oh, he might be going to the Lakers. Draymond Green is going to have the opportunity to possibly go to wherever he wants. So where's he going to go? To a place going to suit his skill set the most. If I were Golden State, I'd trade him for something and send him to a situation that he doesn't have any control over. If I'm being Golden State, that's what you should do, because you're going to get something for him. Right? He's been finessing the league for years. So you're going to get something from him. So you might as well get something for him. You know what I mean? But Golden State are probably not going to do that coming off the championship year, depending on what their year looks like. But Draymond's out of there. And that punch this offseason did not help his case, but it definitely didn't help his case publicly. It also didn't help Jordan Poole's case. But then Jordan Poole got that bag. And Jordan Poole was like, okay, it don't matter to me. So I don't think this is the most interesting thing in the offseason, but I think this was a very telling thing of the offseason, because I think this was a strong catalyst for the direction the Golden State Warriors are going to go. It was like an analogy, I guess, of where the Golden State Warriors are going to go in the future from now, in the next couple years, right? Jordan Poole staying, Draymond Green's going. And then we will see two things. Truly, we'll see two things. We'll see how much Draymond Green actually matter in Golden State. And then we're also going to see how good is Draymond Green actually in a different scenario. And I think those two things are going to drastically shift narratives on the Golden State and their dynasty era type situation while Draymond Green was there. But it also shifts scenarios on people talking about Draymond Green being like a Hall of Famer, or is he, or is he not, or whatever it is. So I think it wasn't, once again, not the most interesting, because I think you two said some really interesting ones, cases for this offseason. But I think that, once again, it is the situation drastically got the ball rolling for this whole breakdown of the Golden State dynasty. Because Klay Thompson, remember this, Klay Thompson hasn't played a preseason game. Klay Thompson's injured, right? He's not, he's not the Klay Thompson of old. So will Klay Thompson even stay there for the next couple years? No idea, right? More likely not, because that's how they're only loyal to Steph Curry.
Yeah. And I honestly thought Klay Thompson would be the one who leaves before Draymond. Draymond just seems like he's the, not godfather, but grandfather of what has happened in Golden State, where you don't move him because of what he brings as a leader. You're not going to get too many vets that are going to... He probably give everybody the blues in practice. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter if it's Steph, it's Clay. It don't matter if it's the young guys. We sure know it doesn't matter if it's Jordan Poole. But he just seemed like he's that type of leader, and that would have been great for those young ones. And that's what I was excited for. You get all those young dudes. Draymond gets to teach you the ins and outs of defense, and then he does this where, he still gets the opportunity this year to be a mentor, but how much of this makes you side eye when Draymond tells you?
I was signing him for years. Don't make me sigh. Look him dead in his eyes and say, you garbage.
I'm not talking about y'all. I know how you feel about him.
Okay. Y'all just made about, sure.
Like, his teammates were like the younger dudes. Like, does this put like a small smidge of fear in him when he gets aggressive? But that's really besides the point. I remember a few years back when I was like, he kind of reminds me of Joakim Noah. This is literally the Joakim Noah situation, minus the punch, but where we get to see old man Noah go play somewhere else, and it's just, it probably won't look the same. We have the excuse of him being, and personally, I can't really take away from what he did in his prom if he leaves and he looks weak.
I think that's true if his skill set isn't what it is. When you're old, your skill set of setting screens and running the ball up the court and passing it, like his skill set isn't, you know, jab, jab, between legs, step. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his skill set is a role player skill set, essentially, right? Set screens, get rebounds, outlet passes, run the ball up the court when you get a chance to, and play defense. Like, but not like great defense, just play effortlessly hard defense. So like, that stuff translates into, a lot of that translates into older age, and you age well into that kind of skill set. So like, I don't really necessarily think that like age was gonna be like a determining factor about, people are gonna use it, obviously, but I personally don't think that should be the case for him.
Well, I mean, the thing is right now, still, right, with age comes like,
No, keep going.
Like, with age does come like that decline in athleticism, you know, quickness, explosiveness, speed, that kind of thing. And it would still affect it, even if it doesn't completely derail what you do.
Isn't his whole MO is IQ. His whole MO about everything he does is IQ. That like, towards every aspect of his game, right? It is, he's not out rebounding anybody. He's getting the smart, quote unquote, rebound. He's not, you know, making wild, crazy athletic passes. He's making the smart passes. I'm gonna tell you about scoring, right? And just like, he makes the quote unquote smart play. That is the thing that has been correlated with his game the entire time. It has never been athleticism. So like, when you're, so the intelligence aspect, look at guys like Andre Miller, right? The intelligent aspect of game dwindles much, much, much slower than the skill ability of the game. And if your whole game is depicted off of your quote unquote skill of, you know, playing the game smart, then at the age he is now, I'm not going to give him any kind of, I don't think he deserves any kind of like a leeway a year or two after he leaves.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not so much, oh, right, but like, it's his athleticism is some, like, his game is somehow reliant on it, but like, everybody's game is affected by their athleticism or lack thereof. And even if you don't have a whole lot of it, when you lose or start to lose what little you got, it might not go too well.
It's a athleticism,
but also
in reaction time. Like, if that goes,
yeah, reaction time too. Yeah,
right.
Like, it don't matter if you can see the game if you can't respond to it.
Give him more than 1 year for that.
Yeah, no, probably.
We're already seeing it now. We saw it in the playoffs. It was kind of like, ooh, this doesn't look great.
He did look boo-boo.
It is. It's realistically been like the last like two and a half years. We're kind of been like,
uh-huh. Well, then what happened? Curry and Poole and Andrew Wiggins said, don't worry, we got you. That means what it is, right? So like, but that's what happens when you play on great teams with great players. So like, as long as he's not in a situation to where he's with the all-time greatest shooter of all time, and Andrew Wiggins with the resurgent year, and Jordan Poole is one of the up-and-coming, really, really efficient, really good two guards, then what do you do? You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's like, what it is, it's a wait-and-see kind of scenario.
Yeah, if I may make one last comment about it, because you made me think about it, is like Draymond finds himself in a situation where the Warriors are, whether they're saying it or not, like putting the pieces in place to begin to transition into a different era of their of that organization. And like the thing about Draymond is he is a dude who he means more. He is a higher value to the Warriors than he does to any other team, right? In terms of like one of the things about him is that he does I don't remember where I saw this, but like Steph is legitimately a better shooter with Draymond on the floor, or at least has been. He allowed them to get into beginning to play the kind of basketball that they play and to continue to do so, even as he hasn't necessarily been some kind of major scoring threat. But as they're beginning, but because they're beginning to transition into a different era functionally, he is in a spot where while he may not necessarily be redundant, they're beginning to transition away from the kind of things that make his presence as necessary or even beneficial as it has been in the past. And the thing with Poole, if for no other reason than the fact that it got out, and like I'm not gonna lie, I don't really care that it got out, if I'm honest with you. But like the fact that it did get out probably affects his potential standing with the organization more than the fact that the thing happened, at least given how other people within that organization have responded to it publicly. And so if anything, all it has done is sped up his inevitable departure from what would have probably been his retirement or whatever to like next year, unless he just decides to retire after this season or something, which cool, I guess. But yeah,
if he decides to retire, listen. He can't retire. If he retires after this season, that tells me all I need to know. That tells me all I need to know. You drown him without Steph. You drown him without Clay. And you go, I'm gonna retire. And you had a year last year, which was like fine. Like not retirement level by any means. And you're not old.
I mean, crap. Fairness. Like there are a lot of dudes who stayed well past who stayed in the league well past the point of them being useful. Like
no.
There's something to be said for going out on a high note.
Situation. I as a fan of the game want to see him in a different situation so I'm able to gauge more accurately without other people going, I mean, no. I mean he's a glue that brings stuff and all them together. I want to know what he looks like in a different situation. That's just me as a fan of the game. You know what I mean? Like I just want to know what that looks like. Like you see people in different scenarios, right? So you saw Tim Duncan for I'm using people that are in the same teams. You saw Tim Duncan with David Robinson, and you saw him with a whole different squad, right? You saw Dirk with a lot of different people, right? You saw Kobe with a ton of different people. People who stay on one team, I'm like, I want to see you in different scenarios. He's always been in the exact same scenario. So as a fan of the game, I just want to see what it looks like. And like that, I can make the same thing. I don't want to see before injuries, I was one of those people that wanted to see Clay in a different scenario. I want to see how good it was Clay actually. Like I was just one of those guys. You know what I mean? Will I ever get it? I don't know. I hope I do. But I also, you saw Steph turn into Steph Curry, right? You saw Clay turn into Clay Curry, but I also saw Steph like carry teams. I saw Steph carry teams. You know what I mean? Like, I saw Steph really go out there and do his thing, but there's just certain players I want to see. What do you do in other scenarios? And Draymond Green just happens to fall into that category. It's not necessarily even about him. It's just about, you know, that's an easier way to gauge somebody's game. So if you're analyzing or talking about the game itself, that makes it easier on us instead of having to toss out a bunch of hyperboles. You know what I mean? Because the only scenarios we've seen outside of college is Golden State and World Championships and Olympics. Like, that's all we've ever seen outside of Golden State with him. Him playing with the best of the best of the best of the best. I'm like, okay, so what does that look like when you're not doing that outside of college? Because Christian Laettner did great in college. He didn't do great in the NBA. You know what I mean? So college means one thing, but NBA is a whole different monster. You know what I mean? So that's just me as a fan of the game.
Laettner did make an all-star, by the way. But hey, let's go ahead and keep it moving. Guys, we're going to do our prediction side of the podcast. We're going to make it quick. About like 2 minutes, get your spill off. I'll go first. I personally think the Brooklyn Nets go win the championship. I was riding with them on and off. Like, if the train was close to the station, I was going to hop on there. But we saw what Brooklyn did last year. I still have faith. This is a good enough core group. We're getting back Joe Harris, which I think is very necessary. We get, hopefully, fully healthy Ben Simmons. And realistically, I know this is a lot to ask because we saw how putrid that defense was last year. But Ben Simmons is the type of defensive anchor that this team would need to be successful. He does not have to shoot the ball. He has to be like a fulcrum in the offense where he can just pass the ball around to the elite guys, give them like a little bit of breather off the ball, which is absolutely perfect when you got the type of shooters around this team. So I'm still going to rock with the revamped Brooklyn Nets. Fairweather fan at heart will always be. The minute they start looking nasty or they hit like a 3-4 game losing streak, I'm out. But the minute they get back on winning, I'll come back to this clip and be like, I was right. I don't care. Like, this again is a lot like last year where there's so many good teams that it could go either way that I am 110% okay with being wrong. But until I've been proven wrong, the Brooklyn Nets are my squad.
Okay.
Do you want to go first, Kyle, or me go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
So based on what I have here, side note, I don't know why I feel like I keep forgetting the 76ers exist. But
no, fine.
But my prediction, for the championship is, like, I think the Warriors repeat. The thing is, it's not my preferred scenario. There are 28 other teams that I would rather see win. I don't think that, like, the stuff with Draymond that we just got done talking about is going to massively throw off their season. One, because it's not like they, like, waived him or anything, right? Like, he's still on the squad. They have good young players that are improving. Wiseman actually got to do a whole training camp in preseason healthy. It has looked pretty decent from my understanding. Right. Steph is still Steph. I couldn't really tell you about Clay. I haven't like played too much attention to their preseason games. But like they have everything they need to keep the train rolling and they just inked to like just, you know, got extensions for Poole and Wiggins, who was again a really important part of the last run. And so while it is not the future I want, it is probably the most likely outcome.
It's not. So I think the best. I'm really hoping it's not. I think my prediction is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. James Harden's going to be on a tear. Watch. James Harden had a not great year, 1 year, some months, like, and apparently that is enough. Because people, James Harden has haters already, right? James Harden has haters.
He's had haters for years now. This isn't new.
He has haters. He has had haters for years. This is not new. All of a sudden, after like literally a couple months post injury and him getting out of the Nets and whatever, all of a sudden, those haters are like, see, we told you. Oh no, he not this, he not that. That was an actual rhetoric that was out there. James Harden heard that, especially in the playoffs. Right? When the last couple of playoff games, he wasn't taking no shots. It was like a very it wasn't very James Harden at all. Right? At all. At least the ones that we've come to know. That won't be the case this year. James Harden's going to James Harden. And when James Harden's with Joel Embiid on the team as well, that's wild. And this year is going to be the first year that we've actually been able to see it. Truly. And I know that's, and they have the role player. They have the role players around to be able to compensate for all other aspects of the game, right? I think Doc Rivers is a fine coach. I think he's been helped with the product of who he is playing under him. But I think he's a fine coach. But I do think this double-headed monster, with health in mind, this double-headed monster of Joel Embiid and James Harden are about to destroy this year. I think that's an actual thing. James Harden's lost weight. Like, James Harden seems, in terms of press conferences I've seen, in terms of seeing offseason workouts that I've watched of the 76ers and of James Harden, he seems to be taking this very, very, very seriously, right? We have not heard anything of James Harden outside of basketball in the last 6 months. Especially Houston to New York to, when's the last time we could say that?
You got a point.
So I do think he's legitimately focused this time, and he's focused this time around because he knows he's in the twilight years of his career, at his peak. So he has to get advantage of it, and that's why he took the pay cut, took advantage of it. So teams take advantage of it because he knows to solidify everything, he needs that championship. If James Harden gets a championship,
You made your point.
Last point. For James Harden to win a championship, or if James Harden were to win a championship, he is up there, stats and all, as a top five shooting guard in NBA history. But now that's questionable. Championship, that's not questionable anymore.
I think number four is like Clyde Drexler, and I like him more than Clyde Drexler.
Look at Clyde Drexler. Rick Barry has identical numbers to Kobe Bryant. So, like, it's not that easy. We're just of a generation that only knows so much of shooting guard. Our mind goes, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, you know what I mean? Like, that's how our mentality is because we're of that generation. But, like, there's a lot of good shooting guards out there. Remember, at one point, shooting guard was like, people had to stack up a shooting guard and really good shooting guards because they had to stop Kobe at one generation and then Michael the generation before. So there's a lot of good shooting guards out there that had just been overshadowed by those two monsters of people. You know what I mean? So,
you got a point. All right. Round robin MVP prediction. This is another one of those awards that I do not truly care about. My original pick was going to be Ja Morant, but I do not see the Grizzlies having as much success as they did last year. So that's going to hurt his chances greatly. Like, he can't get the fifth seed this year and expect to get the MVP. I don't want to be like everybody else and say Luka. Luka just, he does not have the team where it would make sense. Like, people are still going to go with best team, best, whatchamacallit. I think MVP comes out of Philadelphia. It is either Harden or it is Embiid. Whichever one of those seems to be the alpha dog is probably going to win the championship this year. Most people would think Embiid should probably have won based off the last 2 years he had. I think voters are probably going to lean his way. If we come down to the top three, he's considered. He's had a good season. They're a top three seed. He doesn't get injured. You kind of have to give him one at this point. And as far as Harden, if Harden looks like Houston Harden, and they're a top three seed, you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. I know there's other, like, cool storylines out there. I don't care about them. I think it's either Harden or Embiid.
So, can I go second? Just because we're on the same, we're on the similar page.
Yeah,
Joel Embiid. That's my pick. It's my pick for similar reasons as you, but to add on to that, he's upset, you know, with competitive nature, whatever term, you know, not upset at the guy, but he's upset at the process, upset at the fact that Jokic got MVP over him. I think that's going to be motivation for him to keep going and go become even better, whatever it is, right? Because Joel Embiid also has a better team. So if he ends up with a better regular season in terms of record than the Nuggets, then the voters should lean his direction for MVP, because when Joel Embiid plays like Joel Embiid is supposed to play, it is dynamic. I mean, he is the best center in the NBA when he plays the way he's supposed to play. And last year, he played the way he's supposed to play, and the year before that, he did too. But this year, I think he even takes a more of a step forward, and we see a Joel Embiid that we have not seen before in terms of dominance, and that's why they're asked, it's going to be why it obviously adds on to why I think they're going to win the championship. But, like, I think Joel Embiid's going to probably win an MVP just because of, like, some kind of, like, competitive vendetta or the fact that he believes he should have won it last year, you know, and use that as motivation and fuel for this year.
Okay, is the only person who did not pick a 76er. Like, I legit, like, I looked at, okay, who are the favorites? And I think that, assuming they're good, which I expect them to be, I think Zion Williamson will get the MVP.
Ooh.
When he's healthy, long as he can stay healthy, right? Because he's in the best shape he's been in years. He's when he's played, he's been an absolute monster,
mm-hmm.
right? He's got the kind of team to be good, right? He's got a legitimate number, like, he's got some legit, like, they have a good team. Yes. Like, CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram are both problems. Like, Valanciunas is also a problem in a different way down low in the paint. And, like, I'd assume, like, the defense shouldn't be a dumpster fire, right? It should be halfway decent. And they've got the horses to be a good team. And let's be real, when he plays, he's one of the most exciting dudes to watch in the league. And the MVP voters seem to kind of like novelty. Otherwise, LeBron would have more MVPs. But, so, I think it would be him, right? He'll have, like, the whole, like, coming back healthy in the best shape storyline thing going. and all of that. So he's my pick. Like y'all said, I say this with the understanding that I do like some of the players around Luka, but like outside of Luka, the team's not that good. Like this I look, they had one of they had, I think, a bottom third offense with Luka on the team being the best player on the floor basically every night.
I like that pick for MVP a lot, actually, because I think the Pelicans are going to be arguably the most exciting team to watch in the NBA this year. Zion is must-watch TV. And with CJ and Brandon Ingram, they are both, you know, the number two scoring options. But I don't think... When's the last time we've seen... Like, when is the last time? Is it Shaq, Kobe? Like, when's the last time we've seen the big man, undersized big man? Shaq, Kobe. Because when's the last time... Have you ever seen an undersized big man be number one scoring option? And then the guard, and then...
Barkley?
But, like, who's his two guard?
Was it Kevin Johnson?
Kevin
Johnson. But I also think he played point, so...
Like, okay, I think is, like... I just think there's so many options for that team that they're going to be dynamic, and it's going to be incredible to watch. If Zion stays healthy, he's going to dominate everybody. Everybody. I don't care how big you are. He's going to dominate all of you. So I think that's a really good pick for MVP for sure.
All right. Guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I know we have another segment. But we're going to keep that for next week because it's the open week of NBA. Nobody's about to go crazy for real. I'm saying that with like my fingers crossed because I want like superstition to kick in and somebody go for like 60 in like the first week of a play. I just don't think that's going to happen. But before we do, I am going to introduce a new segment. And the segment is called Can't Touch This. So if we want to get off a crazy opinion, and we don't really want the other people to say anything, or we want to just leave it as a cliffhanger, just say we can't touch this, and we just got to let it ride. We'll let our reactions be our reactions. And mine is, when are we going to start talking about Jordan as one of the worst executives / owners in NBA history? That man has sucked as a franchise owner. The Charlotte Hornets / Bobcats have been one of the worst franchises for almost 20 years. We're talking, three, maybe four playoff appearances in almost two decades? That's really, really bad. We don't really let people slide on stuff like this. Coming from me, I do not like the Timberwolves whatsoever. And it's not because they haven't had good players. It's because they clearly suck as a management organization. Nothing really good happens to a player that's played with the Timberwolves until they leave. And it kind of feels the same for Charlotte. You can go there, you can have some individual success. But if you're looking to go second round of the playoffs, don't count on that. Like, barely count on getting play-in opportunities at this point. It's going to happen in the next couple years because they got LaMelo, but how much you going to ride on LaMelo?
Okay.
Like, it's time to start the conversation. We're not going to do it because it's MJ. He the GOAT. He's still powerful in basketball. But no, the situation is really awful over there. And his fingerprints are on it. And he, especially at the beginning of his tenure as owner, he made a lot of decisions. And they did not go well. It's time to start having this conversation. I'm down with it whatsoever. GOAT slander must happen, bro. Like, I did it as a player. I don't think he's the greatest of all time. It's no slant there. I think he's amazing. I watch the highlights. I like them. They're really fun. Just think people are person. One specific person is better. And as an owner, there's a long list of people that's better. As an executive, there's a longer list of people that's better. When we all get over how amazing Jordan was as a player, we can talk about this. I'm ready to talk about it. I have no issue doing it. But this is the can't touch this segment, and we can't talk about it. We're just going to have to leave it there. And hopefully somebody else brings it up.
Do we all got one? Do we all have to have one, or just you one person?
If you got one, you can bring it up. But
okay,
just be one person.
I got one.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards has to stay in a medium-sized market. Or small market. Anthony Edwards is too ignorant. No, seriously. Some players are best being in medium to small size markets because they will thrive in those scenarios. Because if they were in a New York type market or a Nets type market, Brooklyn Nets, Knicks, Lakers, Celtics, big markets, that they would. The marketing surrounding them would make them less likable, but also in terms of PR, but also it would put them in scenarios to where they wouldn't be able to reach their full potential, I say. Anthony Edwards, I think that is the case for, because, and I don't even want to bring this up, but what he did this offseason, like what he said this offseason, that little video in a bigger market gets a lot more traction, like a lot more traction. The reason it did not is because he is in Minnesota, point blank period. And I think that in Minnesota, his game will be able to thrive, right? Being there with, Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and things like that. But specifically outside of his game, just personal. Just like he's a young kid saying whatever things that young kids say, that it is best that he is in a small market because he's one of the most exciting players to watch in the NBA. So if he's in a bigger market, people would inherently watch him more, and he would gain more popularity, and whatever he said would get scrutinized a lot more. That's also same reasons why. It was good that Charles Barkley was also in small markets. It's also a good thing Charles Barkley was in small markets, because if Charles Barkley is over here saying those exact same things in, bigger markets, it gains more traction automatically, right? So there are some people who are built for smaller, medium-sized markets in terms of PR, and there are some people that are built for bigger markets in terms of PR, right? And I think Anthony Edwards, at his career right now, for sure, as him personally, right now, I think it is best that he stays in Minnesota, and I think it's best for Minnesota to keep him as well.
I like it. Can't touch it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. While you're listening, go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, because we there, baby. We everywhere. Go ahead and follow us on TikTok. We're going to be a lot more active, I promise. Maybe. We'll see. It's early in the season. We can make a comeback, baby. We're also going to be a little bit more active on Twitter. I don't want to lie to y'all, but I also try to subscribe. So I'm just go ahead and lie to you, being honest. And I guess I can't lie and be honest at the same time. But that's besides the point. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I have been your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and my two best friends are going to go ahead and sign us out.
Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. Alan did a lot of what I usually do at the end of these things. So all I will say is I'm just going to say this, because otherwise I'm just going to be saying it later in the season. Anyway, the rumors of the Grizzlies' demise, as usual, is greatly exaggerated. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, no, this is Philip Dixon, aka the Snickers was good. Pause. Oh, really? I had a Snickers right here. It was delicious. Oh,
is it a veiny Snickers?
Bruh.
My name's Philip Dixon. Whoa. My name's Philip Dixon. You can follow me on Instagram at Brother Abe, BROTHAABE. Follow my short films and my feature length film that's coming out in the spring of 2023. Just follow us there. Find me on GoFundMe. Give me some of that money. Help us out because it is all going towards a good cause. You guys have a good weekend and welcome back.